But what would church be without a little bit of the word? So how about real fast for the remaining time that we have? Turn to the book of Mark. Turn to the book of Mark. Mark 4, the fourth chapter. We're going to read verses 23 and 24. And today we're going to be talking about how's your hearing? How's your hearing? Are your ears clogged up? Are they? Hopefully nobody's hard of hearing. But how's your hearing today? These two little flappers on the side of your heads, God put them there for a reason to hear. Mark 4, 23, 24, and we'll just get as far as we can go. And the Holy Spirit's great is just pulling out of me what you need to hear. You know, every service we prepare and we say, Holy Spirit, what do your sheep need to hear today? We don't just randomly, you know, do a Russian roulette thing in the Bible and point to something or listen to something else that's been ministered. We want a tailor-made just for you so that when you leave this place, you're fed. We don't want you going somewhere else to have to get another snack somewhere or have to go listen to, you know. No, we want you well-fed. We like fat sheep. I like fat sheep. Sheep that are plump and healthy. We don't tolerate anorexic sheep here in this house, in this church. Nobody anorexic, real gaunt looking and just, you know, pastor, pray for me. What's that scripture about, you know, he's under our feet. Oh, we're all fed well. And we're all healthy, healthy sheep. And we want to continue feeding you along those lines. And, you know, one benefit of fat sheep is they're too fat to jump over the fence to go anywhere else next door. So we just keep you here. Yeah, we just keep you right here. Yeah, because you belong here. You know, you belong to this. If you're being fed, if the Lord placed you here at Faith Family Maui, well, this is where you belong. This is where you'll get fed. There's an anointing on us for you. And you may see, well, this church is good and that church teaches. And yeah, but that may be so. But they're not anointed for you specifically. You go to where the Lord places you. Yeah, where you're jointly fitted, not out of joint. You go somewhere else where God hasn't called you, you're out of joint. And you won't fit properly. But we want everyone here fitly jointed together. Yeah, where we all flow together and we're all well fed and everyone leaves just kind of like just from a smorgasbord, you know, you just really content. Yeah, yeah, just like after a Thanksgiving meal. That's our endeavor and that's our job. That's my job, yeah, to do that. Well, if you turn to Mark 4, 23, 24, it says, if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. So that tells me there's four steps to hearing. There's to hear right now what you're doing right now, listening, perceiving, and then to comprehend means to understand. And then he said to them, be careful what you hear, what you are hearing. So it's not so much where you're hearing, but be careful also what you allow in these ear gates. Because you hear a lot out there, but be careful. Put a filter on your hearing as well as on your eye gates. Remember when Job said something so remarkable? He said that he had made a covenant with his eyes that he would not sin, or he would not sin by looking at another woman. A covenant with his eyes. Well, we can make a covenant with our ears, not to hear, listen to anything that would take us off track. Listening to music that is not anointed, listening to something that would dull your hearing. And then when you hear something powerful from the word of God or God speaks to you, you can't hear right. Yeah, it affects your spiritual hearing. So it says, be careful what you are hearing, for the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more will be given to you who hear. It says to be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. I'm reading from the Passion. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. For those who listen with open hearts, this is key right here. For those who listen with an open heart, if you have an open heart, then that tells me you can have a closed heart. For those who listen with an open heart will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. So that tells me there's a big difference between hearing and listening. To hear, we all know what that means. It means to be told, to be informed, to catch, to perceive, to take in. What you talk about and what you listen to, you take that in. You take that into your being. You take that into your spirit, whether good or bad. So you need to filter these things. He said, take heed in what you listen. Take heed what you hear and also how you hear. I'll say that again. Take heed what you hear and how you hear. Again, that key was with an open heart. A lot of you, you know, we sit in a church service, and right now you're all on a level playing ground. Everybody is hearing the word going forth. Yet some will leave, and hopefully none will say, I didn't get anything. Some will leave so enriched, so built up, they'll just go home and chew on that and listen to the tape and look at the scriptures again. And why is that so? Why is that? Because you're all hearing. All of you have ears to hear. But are you listening? You know, we have two grandchildren, 2 and 3, living at home with us. And I'll say to both of them, I'll say, come and clean up your room. No response. Oh, they heard, even though they were in a different room. They heard. Or I'll say, wash your hands, or come in and brush your teeth. No movement, no nothing, you know. But then when I say something like, who wants ice cream? Whoosh, come running into the kitchen. Or who wants to go to the park? Bubba's going to the park. Oh, don't even have to mention them by name. They're right there, and they're all excited and jumping up and down. Did they? They heard. You may say selective hearing. Yeah. You know, they heard what I was saying to them at first. Come pick up all these toys all over the living room in your room. Don't budge. Almost just like deaf ear. 2 and 3 years old. They have that built into them where I'm not going to respond. I don't want to do that. But yet, when something's pleasing, ice cream, park, you know, going to the swings or a slide or something. Oh, going to Fun Factory. Oh, yeah, they perk up like, you know, pop up like toast out of a toaster, you know. Don't have to coerce or anything. And, you know, church people, too, are kind of sort of like that, too. Maybe not here, elsewhere. But can believers be that way a little bit too? Where you hear the word, you're hearing the word now. You're hearing me, you're hearing the word, but I don't like what she's saying. I don't like that. You know, and you don't receive, or you hear something that's strong from the word. A strong word. And there are some strong words, but yet you're hearing, even though your hearing gets turned off. Tell me something pleasing. Tell me something that I want to hear. Stroke me a little bit. Tell me how wonderful. And God will tell us things like that at times. How wonderful what he has prepared for us. We all love Deuteronomy 28, walking in the blessings, and these blessings will overtake you. But what about some of these hard things in the Bible that when it talks about loving your enemies and getting pruned and disciplining yourself? How about this one? Crucifying your flesh. How about we announce a fast? How quickly, huh? Did Pastor say something about, I don't remember. We just have that mechanism, you know, inside where we turn off what we want to hear and what we do want to hear, what's pleasing. You know what the Bible calls that? The itchy ear syndrome. Yeah, it does. Your ears, some people have itchy ears. In 2 Timothy, it talks about it in the last days that some will have itchy ears, seeking, going to different, listening to this one, going to listen to that message or this preacher online. Oh, I don't like, if you can't get fed here and built up, and all of these things should be supplemental to what you're receiving and hearing here in church from your pastors. Like I said, we don't just randomly pick something and then just serve it up to you. You know, we spend prayer and time and praying in tongues and asking the Holy Spirit, what do the sheep need to hear today that will get them over, that will get them victorious, that will bring answers into their lives, help them fulfill the plan? And yet it says that there'll be those in the end days where they'll have itchy ears, going here, going there. Well, that church, you know, I remember somebody came in here and they were a visitor, and I was speaking, and correction was going forward. And you know, some people were getting a spanking, spiritually speaking. And you know, so somebody coming in may think, oh, that was a little abrasive. You know, I want to go somewhere where, oh, they preach love and acceptance. And, well, we do that here too. But you got to take the whole counsel of the Word, everything in the Word of God. There's discipline as well as correction, as love, as edifying, exhorting, but it all comes all together. It's all one thing. So people will have that itchy ears. Some people, you know, love to, I just love to listen to him. He tells such good jokes, makes me laugh. Well, there's, you know, there's more than, you know, to the Word than laughing and listening to jokes. We want to hear the Word, something that's going to change our lives. And people nowadays, that's what flesh churches do. Churches that will just come on in, you know, tell me how wonderful I am, tell me what I want to hear, tell me what I'm doing right. And as soon as some correction or the strong meat of the Word goes out, you don't see them again, you know, or are they, you know, for whatever reason. 2 Timothy, yeah, it calls it the itchy, it being, having itchy ears. Isaiah 55:3 says, incline your ear. Incline means to bend your ear, to submit and consent, divine will, and come to me, hear, and your soul will be revived, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the same sure mercy promised to David. Yeah. So could there be a direct connection or correlation between your hearing and actually receiving the Word? Yes. Have you ever left a service and you know, and somebody who didn't come or somebody who had to stay home, you know, say, well, what was the service about? What was the Word? I know it was really good. It was powerful. And you know, it leaves them, you know. I know sometimes that happens to all of us, but yet you heard the Word, but did it really get down into your heart where it stuck to your ribs? Yeah, we should all be hearing that way. In Mark 4:12, you can just listen. We're in that same chapter. It says that in order that they may look and look, but not see, that they may perceive and may hear and hear, but not grasp or comprehend. That means ever hearing, but never grasping anything from it. Always looking and seeing. But what are you seeing? What are you looking at? It's just, there's some people who hear the word, but there's no progress. There's no movement. Yes, our faith grows by hearing and hearing with that measure of faith we've all been given when we got saved. And we hear, but hearing is not enough. Just sitting and hearing the word. Yes, your faith will grow. But listening is involved, like we said, perceiving and comprehending. Because we're all hearing the same thing. And you got to train your ears to not only hear the word, but again, obey it and be doers. That's when you know you really heard the word, because faith has actions. And there's a direct link, correlation between our hearing the word, and our hearts. And I just want to show you real fast for the time remaining. While you're still in Mark 4, look at verse 14. Jesus was talking to the disciples about giving them a parable about the three different types of soil, three types of ground. And it says that in Mark 4, the sower sows the word. That's verse 14. The sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear, watch what happens. Satan comes at once, it says, and by force takes away the message which was sown in them. Now I'm reading out of the Amplified. So there's those who hear the word, but at once, once you're leaving the church, you're driving home, Satan will come and just snatch that word from you. Immediately and by force, take it. And then there's another group it talks about where it says in verse 16, and in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, there it is again, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. Praise God, hallelujah, oh, that's a good word. And yet, you're excited about the word. But watch what happens next after that. But they have no real root, verse 17. They have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, displeased, indignant, resentful. They stumble and fall away. These are believers now. We're not talking about unbelievers, but it can pertain to unbelievers as well. Then in verse 18, and the ones sown among the thorns and others who hear the word. Notice all these three types of hearts, ground, soil. They're all hearing the word. All hearing, just as we are today. But it's falling on from the connection from hearing the word, spiritually hearing, something happens on the way down to the heart. And the heart has to do with everything. You might even say that the heart has to do with your hearing the word. It does. Well, can you show me that? Yeah, I will. In verse 19, it says, then the cares and the anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour, the deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desires for these things creep in and choke and suffocate the word in you till it becomes fruitless. Jeez. But then The good news is, but then there are those sown on the good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word, receive and accept and welcome it, therefore bearing much fruit, some 30-fold, 60-fold, and some 100 times as much. So those three things, they hear the word, they receive it, accept it, not, I don't believe, I don't know if I believe that. Where, you know, can I meet with you, Pastor, afterwards? You know, and explain that to me, or questioning. Accept it. Now, not, we have to be discerning as well, of course, sure. But yet, when you hear the word, and you know the word, such as we're hearing, you hear it, you accept it, receive it, and welcome it. And then you'll start bearing fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. Now, all of these soils now, again, they all heard the same word, all heard the same thing. Why were some fruitless? Why were some full of fruit, producing a harvest? All had to do with the soil, the condition of their heart. And people come in that way, you know, with a hardened heart. Yeah, all three types of soil. So it's not just enough to hear the word, but it was the condition of the soil of their hearts that determined if they would be fruitful or not. Listen to this statement. This is really important. Fallow, hard ground is ground or land. Now, the Bible didn't specifically say fallow ground, but it said hard, rocky ground. So hard, fallow ground is ground that has been allowed to lie idle during the growing season. I'll read that again. Fallow, or we can say stony, hard ground is ground that has been allowed to lie idle during the growing season. So we could even say it this way, that fallow hard ground that has been allowed to lie idle in some Christians when the church is growing, when the church is moving, when we're having special meetings, when the flow of the Holy Spirit is, you've allowed idleness. Idleness can be laziness, inactivity, being idle, non-productive. During these last 2.5 years during COVID, a lot of Christians were idle, really idle. You may say, well, some we were open, and then we also had the live stream. But you have to just do more than hear, because a lot of the Christians were hearing over live stream. They were hearing the word, but then that idleness, not doing anything, not exercising your faith, not putting action to it, not developing, will create idleness. And idleness is a direct result of fallow, hard ground. The ground will harden up. For those, we lived in Kihei for 38 years. And in our backyard, that ground was almost like cement. You can stand there watering a hose, a garden hose, and try to plant something. Almost impossible, because that ground, it was almost just like you had to just, you know, get a stick of dynamite in there to just blow, you know, loosen up that ground. Hosea 10:12 says this: break up your fallow, uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, to inquire for and of him, and to require his favor. Hosea said, break up your fallow ground. Well, I'm waiting for God to do it. No, you're going to have to do it. That hardened, fallow ground of your heart, you're going to have to do it. God may use circumstances and situations to help that process, But you're going to have to break up that fallow, hard, idle ground, ground that's just been sitting. Anybody who farms or plants knows that land that's just been sitting, hasn't been plowed, hasn't been tilled, cultivated, it's pretty much useless. It's idle. It's been sitting too long, unproductive, not bearing anything. Maybe some thorns and thistles, maybe, but nothing else. So Hosea is saying, break up your fallow, uncultivated ground in your heart. In Israel, they would plow the ground repeatedly and break up all the clods, C-L-O-D-S. That's a large lumps of earth in the ground until the ground became soft and ready to receive new seed. And it was then and only then that the land can produce and start yielding fruit. So you can have a hardened heart, a fallow heart, a heart that's idle, just from inactivity, coming to church when you feel like it, staying at home, not reading the word, no fellowship with the Father, on and on, all of these things. It's going to produce idleness. And the ground of your heart will become, start becoming hardened. And you may not feel it. You may not sense it. But it's going to be a process over time, over time. And then we're going to start seeing you less and less. And then the excitement. And then you use the, for those who used to sit in the second, third row, they're in the back row and they're slipping out early. And all of these things, all because the heart has become hardened, fallow. And it has to be cultivated, broken up. And if it's left that way, you may say, well, I come to church. I hear the word. It's not going to go inside. You're not going to receive it. You won't accept it. You won't welcome it. But it'll just be like that ground where rain comes. You try to water, bounce right off of it. How was the word? How was church today? I don't know. It was all right. Pastor went kind of long, you know. So just nothing, you know, nothing went in. Nothing went in, so, you know, no harvest. You're not going to produce anything coming out. That's idle ground. And that's why this pandemic was so devilish, you know, because it was just meant not only just to shut down the churches completely, but to get everybody in that idle, you know, drawing everybody away, get you dry and just, you know, inactive for God's kingdom. But thank God that's not us. That's not us. Idleness is being inactive, having lack of interest, laziness. Idleness is an open invitation to the devil. Growing up, and how many of you also heard this term in school? Then your teachers, my mom always says, idle mind is a devil's workshop. Well, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. We had that drilled into us by the nuns in the Catholic school. Yeah. Your mind is idle, where it has some cobwebs and things. That gives the enemy a lot of room to play in because it's not filled with anything. It's not being renewed. Yeah, according to the word of God. Oh, you're renewing it with some things out there, but not with the word of God. And so that's why it's so important that it's not just enough, people, to come to church and hear, but to have that the soil of your heart fertile, sensitive, where the word of God can just go right in. Be receptive like that. You know, they say that about Kula soil in certain places on the islands. They'll say, you can grow stuff anywhere there. Just stick it in the ground. Why? Because the soil is so receptive. It's so rich. It's so fertile. Plant anything, and then before you know it, it's springing up and it's producing, and you'll see fruit. So necessarily coming to church for years and years doesn't mean that you're going to be a productive, fruitful Christian. But what is more important is the ground, the soil of your heart. Just like that scripture I read in Mark 4:12, ever hearing, but never comprehending, nothing ever sinking in, not perceiving, ever looking, ever seeing, but yet nothing. It's just like being a clod, you know, a klutz, a spiritual deadbeat. And there's no, you're not producing anything. You're not being fruitful for the kingdom of heaven. And that's and that's what God definitely wants. Yeah. But we must be able to hear God at all times. Praise will unclog your ears. Praise will unclog your ears. If you're deaf, hard of hearing, you know, I know husbands and wives and, you know, that at home too, we sometimes you say something, can you do this or that? And then you say it again, you say it again. Oh, they heard, she heard, he heard, but yet just didn't want to do it, you know, didn't listen well. And we need to train our ears, not just to hear God, because if the ground, the soil of your heart is not fertile, soft, receptive to God, you're not going to hear from God. Not at all. You won't hear from him because it's fallow. It's uncultivated. God will try to speak to you, but you won't be able to hear. And that's not productive, and that's not what he wants. But especially in your hard times, in your trials, in your tribulations, that's when you need to hear also. Get direction from God, making a big decision. You know, when a pilot flies, and I'll close with this, when a pilot flies an airplane, when he encounters a great big storm, and I mean a storm of epic proportion to where it's dark, it's rainy, it's storming, there's no visibility in the airplane whatsoever. He has, and he's 30, 40,000 feet up in the air, and he's got to bring that aircraft safely with something like 300, 400 passengers. And he cannot see nothing. It's a horrific storm. We were in a storm once like that coming back from the mainland. We had our two daughters with us. They were younger, of course, at that time. And it was in January, and there was a horrific storm. Now, they told us there was going to be a storm out in the Pacific water, but we thought, nah, you just fly above it, get over it. This storm was epic, and I believe it was so horrific that it meant to take us down, take us out. We were like this in that plane, and the stewardesses, when they forsake their lunch wagon and their beverage cart, and they're commanded, get in your seat and seatbelt and buckle in, where, you know, you're just like this, dropping in altitudes, and the plane is just all over the place. Boy, I tell you, fear was huge in that airplane, you know. And so when a pilot is in a situation like that, he can't see anything. He has something called an instrument panel that he solely, totally relies on. He'll see the altitude, he'll see the gauge, he sees his compass, navigation system, and even if his radio goes out to where he can't communicate with headquarters, you know, to where they can guide him in or tell him, you know, go higher, go lower, drop, do this, he still has that instrument panel to guide and lead him home safely and bring that plane safely to its destination. And so when we were up in the air, Pastor Herman, what he did was, and thank God, because I got to admit, I was full of fear. Our daughters were little, and you're up in there, and you look out the window, and it's completely black, dark, rain slamming against the plane, and it's all over the place. Your stomach is in your mouth, and you're just, you know, and the enemy's, you're going down, you're going down. And all of these horrific thoughts, and Pastor Herman just took authority, and he posted angels on the side of the plane, in the front of the plane, and in the back of the plane. Took his authority, thank God. And I'd say within about 10 to 15 minutes, miraculously, it was smooth sailing. We came out of it. And what a relief. But I'm saying this, that when you're in a storm like that in life, and you can't see your way, and it's all dark around you, and there's nobody there with you, and it looks hopeless, and you can't see your way even in front of you, you're going to have to rely on something. And God has given each of you an internal navigational system, an instrument panel to lead and guide you. And that's the Holy Ghost. He'll lead you and guide you out of any trial, any tribulation, any storm. Even when you can't see your way clearly, just look inward. We all have that instrument panel called the Holy Ghost. And you also need to hear the Father, need to hear Jesus. That's so important, because if you can't hear, even when everything is dark and blurry around and you can't see your foot, one foot in front of the other, look inside internally. Look to the Holy Ghost. Quiet yourself and listen. Hear the voice of God. You'll come out of that storm.
Yes.
Yeah. Victorious. Even though you can't see it, it doesn't look like it's getting better. It's dark, and it seems like it's getting darker. Your internal navigational instrument panel, which is the Holy Ghost and all that He equips you with, the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ, the peace of God. That's a big one. The peace. That will all navigate you safely. But again, if the ground of your heart is not broken up, if it's not cultivated, then you're going to have a hard time hearing, even though you're hearing, if you know what I mean, know what I'm saying. You're hearing, but you're not. And it's not sinking in, because you're in one of those types of soils where the enemy comes and steals the word immediately. Or the soil of your heart is stony, hard-hearted, thistles, because of all the things that have happened to you, against you during life. Or you can be that one, and I believe that's for everyone here. Good soil, fertile soil. I see that in each and every one of you. Good, rich soil, to where you hear the word, you accept it, you receive it, you welcome it, and then you go and produce much fruit for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
For the kingdom of God. Amen. Bow your heads. Father, we're so thankful for the word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you give us the word as our navigational system, as an instrument panel to navigate us through life, especially in and through the hard places. Father, I pray that each and every ear here, that their spiritual ears were open to hear and receive the word down into their heart, so that it can spring up and produce more faith, and that their faith would grow, and that they would act upon it also. Because if we don't act and obey the word, we're just like the word says in James. In the book of James, it says we're like a man who's looking in the mirror at ourselves, that we hear the word, but we're not doers. We don't obey the word. We're just merely hearing it. And so we're deceived. And we don't want to be deceived, because we know then that gives access to the enemy. So I pray that every ear here is anointed to hear the word of God, and to hear, and to hear, and to hear. But then that's still not enough. It goes beyond that. To get the engrafted word in, receive it, to guard it. And it's up to us. We're the keepers of our soil of our heart, to keep it cultivated, keep it fertile, by doing all of these things that we know to do, not just hearing. And Father, forgive us for any idleness, any areas where we may have just been idle, lazy, and inactive, just for no reason at all, blaming it on the pandemic, just got plain, just comfortable staying at home, but he's still hearing the word, but being unproductive. So Father, we ask your forgiveness for this, Lord. We want to be productive, and we want to move forward, and we want to bring in the harvest that is promised us. And it is your harvest, Lord, so that your son Jesus can come back for us and get us out of here, Lord, when you return for the rapture of your church. Father, I bless this people.
I bless them. I pray over their ear gates, their eye gates, over their hearts and their minds with the blood of Jesus, that they'll hear the lovely, they'll hear the word of God, and anything that is contrary to it, they'll reject it. Their filter system will reject it out in Jesus' name. And everyone here says, amen, amen, amen. Well, I hope you received the word, and it spoke to you. And I believe that this is what the Holy Spirit wanted to say to us this morning. Amen, amen. We'll take this.